This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's begin today with the opioid crisis, which has drawn the attention of everyone from local police departments to presidential candidates. This afternoon, Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton is in Dorchester with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh for a community forum on substance abuse.
Meanwhile, on Beacon Hill, the state Senate is debating a legislative package designed to address the crisis. And today, a new addiction treatment law takes effect.
Joining us to talk about that new law and the state's effort to address the opioid addiction crisis is WBUR senior correspondent and host Deborah Becker. Hi there, Deb.
Hello there, Megan.
So first of all, tell us about this new law that took effect today.
Well, this law was first proposed by former Governor Deval Patrick, and it was something that he promised when he first declared opioid use an epidemic and a crisis in Massachusetts, and this was back last year. The law requires insurance companies to cover residential treatment for up to 14 days, and pre-approval from a physician is not required. It also requires insurers to pay for medication-assisted substance abuse treatment. So that's like Suboxone or methadone or something like that, again, without prior authorization required. There was a lot of concern on the part of doctors about this, and a provision was added to the law that requires for a medical review after 7 days.
I see. So as you said, this was a law put in place under former Governor Deval Patrick. Current Governor Charlie Baker has also come out and strongly in support of doing what the state can to stem the tide of substance abuse in Massachusetts. And at the State House yesterday, Governor Baker called opioid addiction an epidemic in the state.
It has tremendous momentum, which is what makes it most scary to me. And we're going to be very aggressive as an administration dealing with it.
So, Deb, has Governor Baker proposed any specific legislation this week?
He has tossed about various proposals, but it hasn't taken the form of specific legislation as yet, although his aides do say that that's down the road. Those comments that you played came yesterday after approval of a supplemental budget, and there was $27 million approved in that budget for substance abuse. So the governor did say he wants to see a complete substance abuse bill on his desk by Thanksgiving. So we'll see what happens.
I see. So a complete bill. But there is a separate piece of legislation that is currently being debated, in fact, today in the state Senate on Beacon Hill.
That's right. And this is a pretty big bill. Several amendments here, lots of components to it. There's part of it that strengthens the prescription drug monitoring program, and that there are all kinds of requirements about how doctors prescribe, how drug companies can market, what they need to do about disposal of prescription drugs if someone doesn't use an entire prescription. There's also a provision in there that allows the consumer to request less than they might be prescribed by their doctor if they're prescribed opioids for some kind of pain. There's a requirement that says that the state must publish a list of non-opioid products that can be used for pain management as well. So there's all sorts of things going on there. And of course, we know the most common path to heroin, it seems, is prescription drugs. And that's why there's this focus on prescription drugs in this legislation. And interestingly, the Massachusetts Medical Society has not yet taken a stance on any of this. It says it's going to wait until these amendments are sort of weeded out before it decides what it's going to say about the government making rules about how doctors can prescribe opioids. But the most controversial part, Meghna, of this is the screening of middle and high school students for substance use. And House Speaker DeLeo has expressed some concern about whether there might be some constitutional violations if schools are required to do that. Governor Baker has said, I believe his exact quote was, "I'm not wild about this," because obviously it could become an unfunded mandate on schools to have to be able to screen students. Senator Jennifer Flanagan, who is on the Substance Abuse Committee in the legislature, said that she's not talking about drug testing of students. She's talking about nurses asking students about use so they can identify problems early. So that is really probably the most controversial part of what's being debated in the Senate today.
But Deb, you've actually you've visited some schools where they're doing versions of this screening, right? And have found that some people at least say it's effective.
Some people say it's effective. There is obviously debate about that, and there are amendments to this legislation. What happens if you find out a kid is actively using? What do police have access to that information? Can someone be subpoenaed? Can a school nurse be subpoenaed to divulge that information? Where are the lines crossed about confidentiality? All kinds of questions. So it's very controversial. So some folks want to make it, some people in the legislature want to make it that schools can opt into having this program, and it's not required by the state. So it's still in flux.
In flux and currently under debate in the state Senate. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, as we mentioned, is in Dorchester today, speaking on a panel with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Attorney General Maura Healey about substance abuse.
Well, that's right. She is. She has spoken about substance abuse in the past on the campaign trail. It has become an issue on the campaign trail for Hillary Clinton. She has said that she would propose $10 billion to try to target drug and alcohol abuse. And, of course, Marty Walsh has said that it is a priority for his administration, and Attorney General Healey has as well. They're speaking in Boston with some folks who are struggling with substance use. So it's a forum that's taking place as we speak.
And Deb, here I have just a little update. Apparently the amendment that we were discussing about screening school kids has failed in the Senate. That's the amendment that would have allowed schools to decide whether they wanted to opt in to screen kids. But still, the entire rest of the bill still under debate. Deborah Becker, senior correspondent and host at WBUR. Thanks as always, Deb.
You're welcome, Agnes.
And let's turn now to someone on the front lines of the addiction crisis. Ray Tomasi is the CEO of Gosnold on Cape Cod, an addiction treatment program. And Ray Tomasi, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here today.
Well, as we've been talking about presidential candidates, the governor, state lawmakers, everybody, it seems, is talking about this crisis. And I'm wondering, first off, as someone on the front lines of this epidemic, does that encourage you? Do you think all this attention is translating into the right kind of action?
Absolutely. This is a field that is probably 42 years old, and it was born in the early 70s. I've been in it for almost from that time. I've never seen this kind of concerted effort to really take a hard look at it, but to really lay out some action plans to remedy it. This is opiate dependence is certainly a crisis now, but this is a crisis that's in its 15th year, and we're very pleased on the provider side that it's getting this attention. It's unfortunately tragedy has brought attention, and we'd have wished it had been another way.
Sure, yeah, a lot of tragedies out there, and I know you're way too, you know, you're very close to those tragedies. So let me ask you about some of the specifics that we heard Meghna and Deb Becker talking about. The Senate is debating a bill today that, among other things, would push for safer prescribing practices by doctors, for example, requiring the Department of Public Health to notify prescribers of their own prescribing practices. Good idea? Do you favor that?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's consistent. You know, it's really a consistent approach along with the prescription monitoring program that's been in effect for a little while, and not great compliance with it, but I think that's going to improve as the sites to enter that information gets improved. I think all of these things really point to a couple of things. I think one, I don't think we paid enough attention on the healthcare side to these medications and what they have the potential to do and what they in fact have done. And so when that doesn't happen on the provider side, on the healthcare side, on the medical side, then you get pushback from the policy side. And I know that the governor has met with the medical schools to discuss addiction education improvements in the medical schools, making doctors more aware of addiction and pain management. So these are inextricably connected, and I think combined they make sense. I mean, we have a much better informed citizenry right now, and a much more concerned citizenry about getting prescriptions that have 30 or 60 or 90 pills in there for an acute situation that may only require medication for 2 or 3 days. So I think we're going to get there.
Yeah, and I guess there's also a problem of prescriptions for medicine being prescribed that might not be necessary at all. I know that the governor told a story yesterday at the State House that after minor dental surgery, his wife received a prescription for an opioid that she never used. And I know that one of the big concerns is folks becoming hooked on drugs that are just lying around in the medicine cabinet. So
it's quite fascinating to me that that's a situation that gets repeated all the time, and for all the time, where someone uses 2 or 3 pills out of a bottle and then leaves the vial in the medicine cabinet. And we know that 70% of the kids who try an opiate pain medication get it from their own medicine cabinet. So that's an important thing. And I think the other point is also very important. We've had a lot of experience with patients who are coming in on mega doses of opiate medications for pain. When we've worked with them over a period of several weeks, we actually find out that the pain is nowhere near equivalent to the doses that they're getting. And there is a sort of an opioid-induced pain that comes from overuse of these medications. So it gets complicated. You don't want to keep medication that helps people have legitimate pain, but we've gone way over the edge on it.
Interesting. What about the proposal that would have required drug screening of middle and high school students? It failed to pass the legislature. We just learned this afternoon. How important is screening, this kind of screening, as part of the overall strategy, in your view?
Well, I think it's okay. I happen to be a proponent of a much broader screening that could take place out of the school, out of a nurse's office, something that would include an opportunity to identify young people who might be at higher risk for anxiety, depression, certainly substance use, other kinds of conditions and problems that may interfere with their ability to learn in the school. I mean, ultimately, it'd be great to see that kind of screening taking place in pediatric offices, and we're working with some of those folks right now to be able to do it in your doctor's office. That's really where it should happen. So you have a much wider spectrum of screening opportunities. I think eventually we'll get it right, and I think right now we're seeing an effort to try to do as much as we can in as many areas as we can to stem this crisis.
Well, I want to ask you as well about the law that went into effect. We heard Deb Becker talk about that. This is a law that was passed under Governor Deval Patrick that will require insurers to pay for at least 14 days of treatment. I'm curious what sort of impact that's going to have, especially because we've been hearing about a shortage of treatment beds in the system. I mean, on the one hand, good. On the other hand, does it put too much pressure on the system? What do you think?
I think there are mixed benefits here, if you will, in this. I think the essential part of that that's very encouraging for our providers, of course, is that we're now exempt from the somewhat onerous pre-authorization and let's say every 48-hour approval requirements that insurers were placing upon providers, and that created a lot of anxiety with patients and families because they were never sure whether their insurance was going to cover for another day or two. Getting rid of that is a good thing. It relieves patients and families from that worry. It also relieves providers from needing to have qualified nurses and clinical people actually conversing with insurers all day when they could be helping patients. So we like that part of it. Your point about access is well taken. Obviously, if there's an average length of stay in a program now of 6 days or 8 days, and a patient can essentially be in that program for 12 days or 14 days, then you're going to limit access to those beds. I think that we'll have to see how that plays out. And ultimately, what I have concern about is that the erroneous belief that by having someone in a program for 14 days instead of 10 days, that's going to make a huge difference. And I think while this is a good bill and a necessary bill, it's only the beginning of what I think we should be doing to address this as a chronic condition that needs to be done not just in inpatient programs, but also in outpatient programs. Good start, though.
All right, good start. Ray Tomasi, he's the CEO of Gosnold on Cape Cod, an organization that focuses on addiction treatment. Ray Tomasi, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston.